Good morning.
Good morning.
I saw this just this morning. I'd like to begin the call to worship with a quote from John Calvin. Men will never worship God with a sincere heart or be roused to fear and obey him with sufficient zeal until they properly understand how much they are indebted to his mercy. I couldn't agree more with that. Saw that just this morning. Last week, we spoke about the diligence in our calling. And this week, I'm going to remain with diligence. And in light of our current reading of J.C. Ryle's book, Holiness, Diligence in the Pursuit of Holiness. And our principal text for today is going to be coming from Philippians, starting in chapter 1, verse 27 through chapter 2, through verse 13. But there are references to Scripture on diligence. Two of them in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the spring of life. And also from Proverbs chapter 12, verses 27 and 28. A lazy man does not catch his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. And it is through sanctification we are made more holy, more conformed to the image and likeness of Christ. Now, in addition to the book by J.C. Ryle, Holiness, I would also recommend a couple Puritan classics that I have with me today for those that are interested. Attending Upon God Without Distraction and The Path of True Godliness were very fruitful to me. I would recommend to you as well. Now, in addition to today's scripture reading, if for homework, if you wish, you can also consider Colossians 3, 1 through 17, putting on the new self, I found very relevant as well. Many exhortations in the calls for diligence are throughout Scripture. But let's begin in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation in love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, and any in affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And in closing for today's passage, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Twice during that passage, he mentions to do that in his absence as well as his presence. Not just on Sunday, not just in church, 7 days a week. We are witnesses. We must carry our diligence outside these church walls. Now, there are also, before we close in prayer, there are additional exhortations in Paul's writings. In the next chapter of Philippians, in chapter 3, 12 through 14, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In closing prayer, I'd like to refer to 1 Thessalonians. Let's ask for God's blessing, please. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.